So welcome back to This Week in the Association. Kevin Lucco joins me, and Kevin, we start out with the St. Paul Saints, who have gone through a flurry of moves over the last week and a half period of time because of an abundance of injuries that have been facing the team. What is going on with the Saints right now?
They're just, like you said, it's just been an abundance of injuries, and it's just really at a bad time of the year because there's not a lot of good players out there just looking for jobs right now, so it's been very difficult for George Samus to try to cobble together a lineup. And I guess the results are showing. They are 3-4 since the All-Star break, and they got a huge four-game series against Fargo coming up this weekend, and they're going to try to go at it with a pretty makeshift lineup. Tony Thomas has been taking some swings. We don't know when he's going to come back, but it is an encouraging sign that he made it known in his Twitter account that the oblique is feeling much better on him, and that'll be something to keep an eye on this week, that maybe we see a Tony Thomas return.
Well, we saw a big injury that happened, I believe, right before the All-Star break when Brady Shoemaker hurt his shoulder. Man, what a costly loss that's got to be.
That was actually just last Friday night down in Sioux City. It happened about 30 feet away from me where I was watching down there. Dove after a ball going down the line and got up and was holding his shoulder. And I've dislocated my shoulder before, and just the way he was holding his arm, I knew right away it was a shoulder dislocation. So we'll see. The message I received was that it was about the same extent of injured that Tim Caldwell's shoulder was, and we saw him come back in a matter of weeks. So hopefully they can get Shoemaker back in the lineup with enough time in the season to make a move.
That's right. Thomas was hurt right before the All-Star break, and Shoemaker hurt right afterwards. The team was really kind of struggling, getting kind of hammered by the Lincoln Salt Dogs when they were down there for the first two games of that series. But Mark Hamburger came up with a huge start for them last night to lead to a 2-1 victory.
It's been feast or famine for this team. They're four games against Sioux City, two in St. Paul were close, the Friday night game was close too, 9-8, but that had the earmarks of a blowout for a while until the Saints kind of cobbled their way back into it. Yeah, Saturday night they blow out Sioux City and then get the tables turned on them Sunday, Monday, and then Hamburger does what an ace does. He goes out there and shuts out a pretty steady lineup. So they had about 3 days rest, so went the whole way. So we'll see how he bounces back in his next start against Fargo, which I'm guessing he'll have his regular 4 days rest, and he'll go on Sunday against the Redhawks. For all you Mark Hamburger fans out there that are listening in, that always want to know when his next start at home is.
Tosses his fifth complete game of the season to lead the American Association this year, so pretty awesome effort from him. Two guys that are really making a big difference in the lineup for this team are Kes Carter and Mitch Delfino, guys that George Samus picked up that were available, and boy, they have really been the kind of additions that a team is looking for that could help the offense to really get moving.
I can't imagine where this team would be right now without both of them. And yeah, they were both guys that Fargo let loose. They just didn't have good starts up there, and sometimes with a baseball player, all you need is a new place to play and pretend your stats are back at 0-0 for the year and let it go from there. And for Delfino and Carter, it's been a real help. And Delfino is, not only has he hit well, but he's also been a guy that can play multiple spots in the field. He's played second and first. And with Shoemaker out, he'll be getting all the starts at first base until Brady comes back. So it's good to have a guy like that around that can help you out in multiple spots.
Well, before we continue on around the rest of the league there, let's first welcome back in Charlie. Was he available for us there, Kevin?
Hold on. He's got his head in the fridge again.
Charlie, come on.
on the show. Oh, okay. Well, how you doing there, Roger?
Hey, Charlie, how's it going? It's Rob here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fabulous, Rog.
Hey, Charlie, I wanted to know, did you have that, you hear about that big news about the new team for next season?
Oh, did I ever. Oh, my goodness. I thought I had the greatest idea last week when I wanted to change my name to Charlie Hot Dog, which I'm still working on, but it seems like the DMV is backed up for about 5-6 days, so it's going to take a while for me to become Charlie Hot Dog, but oh my. I checked the news out on Friday, and there's going to be a new team called the Chicago Hot Dogs. Greatest name ever for a ball team.
Well, I think it's the Chicago Dogs, isn't it?
Roger, when I see the logo, I see a hot dog. Why would they be called the Dogs if they're showing a hot dog?
Well, you're right about the logo. It's definitely a hot dog, but I think they're just calling themselves the Chicago Dogs, though.
Well, it seems like it'd be wiser if they called themselves the Chicago Hot Dogs. And they better have the best hot dogs in the league. I got a story for you there, Roger.
Well, it's Rob, but what's the story? Tell me about it.
I'm moving to Chicago.
You are?
That's right. Next year, I'm going to move to Chicago. And this weekend, I'm asking Gert to marry me.
Oh, that's big news there, Charlie. Wow.
Yeah. I bought a new leisure suit. I got a bottle of fresh cologne. And all I got to do is say, hey, flirt. You're going to be my wife, and she'll say yes, and then we're moving to Chicago.
Well, that's big news right there. I didn't realize it got that serious.
Well, I feel like it's time for me to make a move. Gert sometimes pretends like she don't know who I am, but I think if you spend enough time with old Charlie, you know who I am, you know what I'm all about. I'm all about being at the ballpark eating a hot dog watching a ball game. And I'm going to have Gert sitting with me in Chicago watching my new team, the Chicago Hot Dogs.
That sounds awesome, Charlie. I hope that works out well for you. Are you going to have it on the Jumbotron when you ask her to marry you?
I'm going to kind of be low-key with it, you know. I'm not about drawing attention to myself.
Well, we know that's true.
I tell you what, Roger, I am so excited about this.
Well, we're looking forward to your report next week to hear how that goes.
Yeah, I've already picked out a venue. We're going to get married in the Wisconsin Dells. Because you know why, Rog?
Got to be some kind of great hot dog there.
There's a place in Wisconsin Dells where we're going to have our reception, and it's called Hot Dog Avenue.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
It's going to be great, Roger. I can't wait.
Well, Charlie, it's great hearing from you. We look forward to hearing your report next weekend.
Yeah, I got to go get something to eat. We'll talk to you next week, Roger.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Kevin, that was some big news. I think he might be disappointed. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it might be a bad weekend for Charlie.
I'm heading for a heartache. Oh.
Well, we'll have to. Have
I don't know. Can you draw on your Sarles and Schweigert?
I'm eating a lot of hot dogs next week to draw on your Sarles, I'm sure. So.
Oh, boy, you might be going Kobayashi on the bit.
Well, let's continue on around the association in the North Division. We head to the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, who entered with had the longest winning streak in the league this year with 10. Now find themselves in first place after taking 3 of 4 from Winnipeg. Boy, is this team on a roll.
Yeah, I'd say you and I both kind of overlooked them when we were making our predictions for division winners and wild card last week. But they came out with all-star break and did what they really needed to do in Winnipeg, got 3 out of 4, and then have come back home and taken the first two of a series with the Canaries. And it's looking good all over for them right now. There are some guys that are starting to hit now that we're struggling a lot of year. Charlie Valerio's been, noticed him coming up as hitting some homers lately. Yoshi Medina is hitting .393 in his last 7. So, and I'm hearing Josh Mazzola had a decent weekend in Winnipeg too. He had been struggling all year, but if they can get his back going, it's going to just be a huge plus for that team going down the stretch here.
It's an impressive feat that they're accomplishing, because it's not like you're seeing any eye-popping numbers for this team, yet 35 runs in the 6 games since the All-Star break.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it just seems like a lot of guys that were kind of just off the slow starts this year have got it going, and the timing couldn't be any better for the Redhawks.
With the team looking to get some advantages, every advantage they can get, this Richie Tate, has really been doing an amazing job out of the bullpen for Fargo.
Yeah, I watched the end of their game with Sioux Falls last night, and yeah, in his inning, he just looked unhittable and good guy to have there in the 8th inning. Casey Weathers is still closing there, and he's kind of had his ups and downs, so if Weathers falters at some point, Doug Simnick can be assured that he has a guy like Richie Tate that could come in and close too if he needed. So, yeah, things are looking good on the mound and at the plate up in Fargo right now.
Heading on to Winnipeg, last week we looked at the fact that they had the Redhawks and then went on to Sioux City for a series, and I asked you at that point, what did we expect to see the narrative of Winnipeg when we came to do the show this week? They dropped 3 of 4 at home against Fargo to fall out of first place. Are we surprised? Are you surprised by the results that you've seen out of the Goldeyes?
I don't think it's the Goldeyes playing bad. It's just they just kind of ran into a hot team with the Redhawks, and the Goldeyes have bounced back and won the first 2 games of the Sioux City series, and we're winning the 3rd game until it got suspended in the 6th inning last night. So, yeah, if I'm Goldeyes fans, I would not worry too much about the team. They're going to be in the thick of it. I guess if I were to worry about one thing, it would be the pitching. The starting pitching has been a little less than stellar for them, but the guys do have a proven track record, so don't be surprised if they can bounce back.
Well, and good news for the team, David Bergen named as Player of the Month by the American Association.
Yeah, what a year Bergen has had up in Winnipeg. Some of us had doubts about him going into the year, wondering if his stats the last couple of years were birdcage inflated. As we all know, Sioux Falls is a hitter's park, but Bergen has shown that it's him, it's not the ballpark, so been a great year altogether for him, and quite an honor to get Player of the Month.
26 games last month. He hit .368 with 7 home runs and 22 RBI, an impressive 43-game consecutive streak where he's reached base, too. So that's quite a feat for him, for sure.
For sure. And what else can you accomplish, huh?
The other thing we want to talk about, Winnipeg, Reggie Abercrombie sets the American Association record for career RBI last week.
Attaboy, crash. when I see stuff like that happen, you know, it's an accomplishment, but I know I might get a little roasted for this, but it just tells you you've played a lot of independent baseball, and I don't know. To me, if Reggie is happy with what he's doing, that's great. But I just feel like he had the talent of a guy that could have been a solid AAA player. So, yes, he did get the record, but I just wondering if he could have been playing at a higher level for some of this time. But, yes, congrats to him. And I know he was very popular up in Winnipeg, so...
I've always kind
good
of
on him, right?
I've always kind of understood that Reggie enjoyed just playing in Winnipeg, and so there was, from his standpoint, he wasn't as concerned about moving on or looking at other levels because he just loved where he was playing. And if that's what you're at and you're enjoying that, then more power to you, is my feeling.
Right.
Let's head on to the Sioux Falls Canaries. They've been losers of 5 of 6 since the All-Star break. Has that just really sunk this team?
It seems like the guys that were hitting all of a sudden are not. You look up and down the lineup, and I was at their game on Saturday night, and the McAfee kid for Lincoln shut them down pretty well, and guys that I saw hit the Saints pitching around pretty good just weren't producing that night, and going by the results here, it looks like they haven't been producing for a little bit of a stretch here now. Dan Modell seems to be the highlight, hitting .385 in his last 7, in that various spots here, the top or the bottom of the lineup, and swiping some bases, but there just doesn't seem to be much help around him right now.
Well, you alluded to that.
As we know, these guys have a track record. They can turn around just as fast. So.
And you alluded to that a little bit. It has been the fact that the hitting has been down, and their bullpen really seems to be having issues right now.
The guys that were doing it at the end, the Thompson kid and Jose Ortega, both got hit around by Lincoln last week. Thompson struggled on Friday night, I believe, and turned a Canaries lead into a loss. And Ortega came into a tie game and gave up 3 runs in the 10th inning to Lincoln to lose that game. So... lately, the results just haven't been there for them.
Heading on to the Central, we begin with the Lincoln Salt Dogs, who just continue to roll. They take 2 out of 3 from both Sioux Falls and St. Paul, and had a 12-game home winning streak before that was snapped by Mark Amberger. There's just a huge amount to like about this team so far, and not really any holes that I'm seeing.
No, they're not. The guys don't really stand out to you. I was kind of trying to look at that lineup a bit on Saturday night and spots of the game, and I wasn't overly impressed with a lot of guys, but they just, you know, I'm thinking, well, they're not doing much, and then I look up and they got 6 runs. So they're getting the clutch hits when they need them. They're getting guys on, so that seems to be the magic for them. They don't really play for the 3-run homer very much, but they do find ways to get guys knocked in.
There were a few players who were signed by major league organizations this last week. Lincoln has one of their own.
You know, McAfee, were just bolstering about him last week, and I saw him pitch in Sioux Falls on Saturday night, went 8 innings, gave up 2 runs. The bullpen couldn't hold on to the 3-2 lead, but they did win an extra innings. But it wasn't an overly blazing fastball, but he had good control and just seemed really poised on the mound, and I think it's a pretty good find for the Mariners.
One guy who had a huge month in July, was Derek Gordon, who was 5-0 with a 1.54 ERA and 6 starts. Man, he has really become the ace of this staff.
Yeah, it's good to see. They've had several guys that have had decent seasons, but then, yeah, Gordon has been the one that has stepped up as of late. Hope to see some more good things out of him, and maybe someday he'll join his brother Alex in the majors.
My brain was kind of stopped functioning there for a moment. I couldn't even remember what month we were in. Two other notes we just want to talk about.
They all seem to blend in together after a while. Baseball season, that's month.
Two other notes we want to mention here for Lincoln. Kurt Smith extended his 22-game streak of reaching base last night, and Cesar Valera did the same thing 26 straight games. You talked a little bit about the fact that there's nobody who just leaps out of you. These guys just find out ways to win, and here's a great example of why they do.
Oh, definitely. It's not the law numbers, but it's guys just being effective. Tommy Mendoza is back now and did 368 since he came off the DL. They picked up this Maggio kid who's been playing first base for them. Pure rookie, hitting 391. So if you got a rookie that can chip in with a 391 average, that's that'll go a long ways towards having a winning club.
The Kansas City T-Bones 5-1 since the break, only able to gain a game in the standings because of how hot Lincoln is right now, but they extend their wild card lead to a game and a half right at this moment. It's an impressive run for them considering that over the last 10 games they're hitting just .228.
Yeah, I think pitching has kind of turned around for the T-Bones. Their staff ERA is just a little bit above 2, so Stanley, if you haven't checked out the box scores, they're winning a lot of low-scoring games. And like I've said several times in our shows this year, pitching and defense is going to win it for you in the end.
One guy who's adding to that incredible pitching depth right now, Matt Sergi, who gets a no-hitter last week against Gary.
Yeah, it was the seven-inning variety, but a no-hitter nonetheless. I believe he's now the fifth guy to throw a no-hitter in the new American Association. And he did right-handed this time. He didn't throw any left-handed like he did in Winnipeg.
That would have really been something. I will honestly tell you. If he would have done that, I would have really been in awe if he just flipped around and were tossing no-hitters. Wow. Okay. Also, we want to talk a little bit about Cedric Hunter, hitting .400 in the 9 games since being signed by Kansas City, 5-for-6 on Tuesday night. I don't know where this guy came from, but boy, it's just another great example of how their manager is coming up with big-time guys.
Yeah, Cal Pietra has shown that he is, like a lot of people in the Can-Am League will tell you, they knew him for many years in New Jersey. This guy knows how to find talent, and Cedric Hunter has been yet another one of his finds, and put him in that order with Kevin Keyes, who, even though the team's been struggling hitting, he's been hitting .360 in his last 10. Just another good find for the T-Bones. The rich get richer.
The Gary South Shore Railcats, 5-2 since the break, but they fall another half game behind in both the wild card and the regular standings in the Central Division. At some point, I would figure this has to be discouraging that you're playing so well and still not advancing in at all.
Discouraging, but I think sometimes the team just needs to just worry about how they're playing, and you know the chips are just going to fall where they are with all the other teams, and win the games you're supposed to, win a few that you're not supposed to, and then hopefully at the end of the season it all works out. But Railcats feasted on Salina, and I believe they got 2 out of 3 down in Texas. So that's a 5-1 mark since All-Star break on teams that they should beat. And like I said, just don't worry about the teams above you. Just keep plugging away, and if things are meant to be, they're meant to be. And if not, well, you gave it a good shot.
A guy who's really impressing me with the Railcats is Jake Mathis, who joins DeLeon and Johnson to maybe make the best 1-2-3 punch in the American Association. In 11 games since he's joined the team, just 9 hits in 20.1 innings pitched, 17 strikeouts, a 1.32 ERA. These three guys all have ERAs under 1.7. That's just amazing.
Yes, another point I think we've talked about ad nauseum on the show this year, it's teams that have good bullpens in this league, and Gary's is among the best, and they need to be, because other than Charlie Rosario and Alex Gunn, it's the starting pitching's been shaky, so their recipe seems to be most games get 5 or 6 out of your starter, turn it over to the pen, and hope you get enough offense to get a victory. And, well, they're in the wild card chase, so that recipe seems to be working for them.
Looking at the Sioux City Explorers, C. Montgomery makes a big acquisition to help the pitching staff, but before his new addition can even make an appearance, he signed right off the bat.
Yeah, go figure. I guess you probably went after too good of a guy in that case. And that has happened sometimes in this league. Most of the times it's guys that are signed during the off season that they get signed before they get a chance to even make it to training camp. But in this case, yeah, it was an arm I believe Montgomery was looking to use right away, but was not meant to be.
They have another player signed this week as well.
Yeah, so McKenna kid, he'd been pitching most of the year in the bullpen. Pitched most of the year in the bullpen, but Montgomery had him starting a couple games, and he's thrown well enough, ERA under 3, where he got noticed by the Arizona Diamondbacks, and is now reporting to them.
The one thing you have
to see guys getting signed.
The one thing that has to be discouraging for Sioux City is the schedule makers have not been kind to them this week.
Well, let's look at what they've had to do. They had a home and home with St. Paul, which, yeah, you're two on the road, then you're right back home again for two. And then they had a rain out in Sioux Falls earlier in the year that they decided to do take care of on Sunday when they had just a single game scheduled against the Canaries. So that turns into a doubleheader. Then a regular game against Winnipeg Monday, and because of the day that Winnipeg called in sick, you got to play another doubleheader, which they had some rain down there last night, and that game got suspended in the middle of it. So when you look at it, they end up playing 5 games in 3 days, and that just takes a toll on everything, your starters, your bullpen, and your position players.
Yeah, still, even if it is Iowa, it's still not particularly cool at this time of the year there, that's for sure.
You know, surprisingly, I was down there, and it hasn't been that bad, but yeah, it still takes a toll on you.
The one good news that Sioux City has to be feeling, Nate Sampson looking to come off the DL next week, and he looks like he'll be ready to go.
Well, it's definitely good news to hear. Sampson was having a really good year, so he got derailed with the injury, and the guy I've noticed down there has been playing really well. It's been Tony Campana in center field. He's been great on defense. He's been getting on base, butting on, driving the ball well, and he's been the catalyst of that offense lately.
Heading on to the South and the Wichita Wingnuts, after dropping 9 straight games, they rattle off 5 straight wins now. Looks like the team has, you know, figured out whatever was going wrong and has made improvements.
Yeah, and they're a good ball club, and when you're in the division you're in, yeah, I guess you can withstand a 9-game losing streak and still be on top. So they've gone 5-5 in their last 10 now and survived the Cleburne series with a split that basically, I think, eliminates Cleburne from the race in the South. And Matt Chavez has been hitting again. He had been struggling. So, yeah, I think the Wingnuts are on track. So we'll see what the rest of the regular season does for them. They still have to fight for best overall record to try to get home field for the playoffs. So there still is that carrot out there for them.
Two guys that we want to acknowledge that set personal highs for themselves. Tim Brown became the Wichita club leader in all-time in wins last night when he won his 31st game as a Wichita Wingnuts pitcher. And Brent Cleveland reached the 1,000 career RBI mark as a professional. So congratulations to both of them.
Yeah, definitely two good pros there.
The one guy I really do want to talk about, the team is forced to release Harrison Kane because of some nagging injuries that are going on with him. They acquired Tyler Sullivan out of Gary, and he just becomes an instant hit with this team, hitting over 500 at this point, 6 games into since joining the team. I don't know where Josh Robertson is making his moves at, but boy, what another huge piece to add to this offense.
like we talked about a little early in the show here with Carter and Delfino, sometimes all it just takes is a new venue, maybe a hitting coach and overseeing a mechanical flaw in the swing, and guys can turn it around like that, and it's good to see.
One guy having a
monster. No, the American Association's a second chance league, but we're also a third, fourth, and fifth chance league, too.
Yes, they are. One guy having a huge season this year we don't really talk about very much is Martin Medina, hitting .351 right now. Made the All-Star team because of the different guys in the lineup here with Chavez and Cleveland and TJ Mittelstadt. We don't really talk about Medina very much, but I think second in the league right now in hitting. Is that right?
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, it says a lot about your lineup when a guy hitting .351 kind of gets lost in the middle of it.
I think hitting sixth or seventh most nights, too, which tells you what kind of lineup that you're in. You mentioned about...
Yeah, got protection, too, so that helps.
You mentioned about Cleburne. They won the first two games against Wichita after the All-Star break, but dropped the final two games of that series and are losers of 3 of 4 at this point. 14.5 games out of first place. Their season's over, would you say?
I would say so. I hope they play some good baseball down there to wrap up the season, because you're into your first year as a team. There's a honeymoon, albeit briefly, with a new ballpark, but I'd like to see them play some good baseball just to keep the fans interested and keep them coming back for the second year when you don't have a new ballpark to sell to people, where you have to try to sell people more on the team itself to get them to come back out for the second year. So there is that little bit of motivation for the team to use to try to end strong.
I do want to correct myself. Medina is actually leading the league in hitting right now, so my apologies for not having the information correctly originally. Continuing back with Cleburne for a moment, Derek Pyles, you mentioned last week, boy, this guy is really having a huge impact on this offense. It seems to have just come out of nowhere.
I love that name, too, Derek Pyles. Yeah, that's a baseball player name, just piling on the hit. And he has been hitting .348 in his last 7 homer and 3 RBIs, and I believe he was playing in an independent league on the East Coast, kind of like a lower level one, and somebody on Cleburne noticed him, and once again, we talk about second, third, fourth opportunities. Well, Derek Pyle is making the most out of his. So it's a pretty good story.
One guy who seems to have lost his opportunity, and I was kind of surprised by this, is Oscar Mesa. He's had such a huge impact in this league over the last few seasons. Was this a surprise to you to see him released?
It's so tough without being on the inside of everything. We don't know if he had an injury or if there's something going on with his family, or everything's so vague with limited media coverage that the league gets as a whole. So we don't know what exactly happened, but if it was based on playing ability, yes, that would definitely be a big shock.
Well, let's head to the Texas Airhogs, who before winning last night had lost 9 straight. You know, this team has been really good, but boy, when things are going bad for them, they really seem to go wrong.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster of a season for Billy Martin, and right now I don't think he's enjoying the ride very much.
A 9-game losing
streak. No, you have to think. You got to think at some point you become a seller.
Let's talk about that. I would believe that Alvaro Rondon has got to be on the move here at some point. Everybody could use an infielder like him.
Well, definitely. And, you know, the way I feel about independent baseball is that I think the playoffs are a learning experience for a lot of the younger guys, and maybe even guys that are a little bit older. It's everything's so magnified, every pitch, every game, every at-bat. And it's such a great experience for guys to get to participate in that. And you'd like to see the guys that have a chance of getting signed get to have that experience and get noticed. Not that there's a ton of scouts by the time you get to the playoffs, but you'd like to see the best players getting a chance to show their wares in the games that are the most important, and that's obviously the playoffs. And you got a player like Rondon that's having a really good year. It just seems to be a waste for him to be playing in games that nobody's going to even really notice him in.
Well, heading down to the last team here in the league is the Salina Stockade, who reached double digits in wins a few nights ago.
Well, that may have knocked a few people's predictions out. I guess we'd have to kind of fall back on the first episode of the year, which is in our archives on minorleaguesportsreport.com. And, yeah, folks, check back there. See what me and Rob are predicting for their wins, but I don't believe, I don't think we have them under 10, but there were some experts out there that did. So, yeah, it's a milestone to see them get 10, and we'll see if they can do it in the last month here if Rhoda hasn't worn them out too much.
One guy in particular I did want to mention about them is Jonathan Maroney, delivering a huge bat for this team, hitting .311 in 23 games since he joined the team. Kind of a surprised addition here in the outfield, but boy, just another guy who's proving that maybe he deserves a shot next season.
Yes, and I think the smarter managers in the American Association are also kind of making notes when they play against Salina, too, that they're jotting guys' names down as guys that, hey, let's give him a call this winter, see if he wants to come to spring training with us. So there is something for these players on the Stockade to play for, so I know it's been a grueling road for most of them, but there is that potential that next year they could find themselves in the league on a different team that's not going to be on the road for 100 games.
Well, Kevin, there's just about a month left in the season, so this week has some big series coming up, so tell us what you're expecting and what you're watching for.
I believe it's going to be a I don't want to say make or break series for the Saints with Fargo coming in for four, but I think if St. Paul doesn't at least get two of those four games, it could potentially be a backbreaker. And Fargo, same thing, it could be a boost for them if they come in St. Paul and get three or four games, and we'll see how that goes, because right now, like we said, you can't find a team on a bigger roll right now than the Redhawks. I'm kind of drawing a blank. What else do we got going on in the rest of the league this weekend?
Well, for the weekend series, Kansas City goes to Lincoln, so this is an opportunity for the T-Bones, I would think, to make some ground. If get a sweep out of that, they're a half game out. So actually, they'd be ahead by half game. Sorry, this four game series. So there's an opportunity for them to really make some waves, and kind of a under the radar series, which I think could have a big impact as well, as Winnipeg travels to Gary. They can benefit by the fact of both teams can benefit by the fact of Kansas City facing Lincoln, Fargo facing St. Paul, and really build their own momentum towards getting into the division races and even coming out of the weekend ahead in the division. But both of them can be hurt by each other too, and it could be a crippling weekend for both those teams.
Not to mention three of those teams, I guess I'm putting Lincoln on the top of the pack, but all four of those teams, if they're not potential division winners, are also in the thick of the wild card chase. So there is that out there too. I know a lot of teams don't even want to look at the wild card chase yet, but well, it's out there and it'd be silly to ignore it. So yeah, those are two huge series out there for the weekend.
The one thing I find really interesting about the Kansas City and Lincoln series is what happens after that weekend series. Kansas City travels to Fargo. Lincoln goes to Wichita. You almost feel like both these teams are looking like we have to win these games because we may not win anymore in the three games we have after that.
Yeah, that's a tough call for both those teams going on the road there. But, you have to go out there and play the games. And the whole team's got stuff to play for, too. So, yeah, never an easy goal, but out there, is it?
No, it is not. Well, Kevin, what's going on there with the blog this week?
Well, I just put out the recap of the 2009 season, so I'll be working on 2010 at some point, which is the first year that the Saints had to go up against Target Field, and that proved to be an interesting challenge as far as trying to get fans into what was rapidly becoming a dilapidated Midway Stadium. I'm also going to put something together on what I like to call the original three. Hockey's got their original six teams. When you look at the Northern League, the original three teams that are still around in the American Association now are St. Paul, Sioux City, and Sioux Falls. And it just, I find it interesting how all three franchises have kind of gone in different directions as far as what their fan base is now, what ballparks they're playing at, and what the future may hold. So, yeah, three teams are all together in one league, and they're actually pretty vastly different. And it'll be interesting to see what I can come up with for that blog. So keep an eye out for that on 10thinningstretch.blogspot.com.
At minorleaguesportsreport.com, we'll be looking to catch up on some stuff because a little stomach flu was kind of leaving me under the weather this past weekend. So we'll be looking to catch up on that.
Yeah, spread that over the phone. So
yeah. That's like Kevin told me. He called me and said, "Hey, look, you stay there, and we'll do the show over the phone." Let's talk a little bit about Twitter. What do we got going on there, Kevin?
Oh, well, you can find us at TWITA Baseball. Just doing all the nightly retweets of all the teams, score updates, starting lineups. That kind of a funny one over the weekend. Winnipeg showed Fargo's lineup for the day, and you could tell Fargo didn't have any bench players because they had their lineup, and then below the lineup it said, "Do not even look at the umpire." I thought, yep, someone doesn't have a bench player today. So I thought that was kind of humorous. But yet in the same game, I believe Doug Simnick got thrown out. So, but the manager gets tossed out. You don't play. They need the players. So
that's exactly.
But yeah, we'll be keeping updates on all the games, and if I find any good stories out there on the web, I'll also be retweeting those. So check this out.
That's awesome. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us this week, and we'll see you next week on This Week in the Association.